Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
In Spanish and in English live this morning. Hallelujah. We've been talking about spiritual architecture and design for life. Reason why we've been talking about that is because if you go to Nehemiah, let's go there, in your Bibles, and I use the King James Version of the Bible, I find it to be the best source of tracing the Greek and the Hebrew words in the original text. Some of you may be using the New King James Bible, and it's close, and it's fine for you to use that. Just be aware that some of the words and the phrasing may be different, but it conveys the same message. And when we go to the word, how many of you believe that the word speaks to our lives? I mean, it was written thousands of years ago, but it's still germane today. Because what I found out that there is nothing new under the sun. It's the same old situations. You have a car, they had a chariot. Right? You have a cell phone, they deliver letters by foot or by donkey. Or bird. But the same situations were going on. Nothing new. You doing it in a condo, they did it in a tent. Tell your neighbor, nothing new. So the same life experiences that are spoke to here incredibly speak to us today. And even more so because they even prophesy what was to come in our lives. We look at Revelations and we look at some of the things that were said in the New Testament is speaking of what's happening today. What's happening today? Wars and rumors of wars, perilous times, right? Earthquakes in diverse places, right? They talked about those things. The same stuff you're talking about, you're experiencing right now, has already been talked about in the Word. That being the case, tell somebody the Word is true. So, when we go here to Nehemiah, or the Hebrew name for Nehemiah is Nehemiah, second chapter, 17th verse. To preface this, when we're speaking about believers today, Christians, quote unquote, I like to use the term believers because there's a lot of people that profess to be Christian, but they're not walking the Christian walk. It's become kind of cool to use that label. Yeah, I'm a Christian too. Well, are you demonstrating the Christian lifestyle? I like to use the term believers because believers means that you what? You believe it. And if you really truly believe it, you're going to walk in it. So the children of Israel were God's people. Tell your neighbor, we're God's people. So what he's speaking to them, valid for us. And so they were in a situation where they had been through so much. There is a chosen people. He delivered them out of Egypt, Mizraim. Somebody say bondage. But because they were not obedient, they went what? Back in. And so They wandered in that wilderness 40 years. Still did not get it right. So what he's speaking to them is that he's still giving them opportunities. So they've been brought back into their homeland, but what was once a beautiful place is now in ruins, right? And so here it brings us to Nehemiah. So 17th verse says, "Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates are burned with fire." So this was a beautiful place. This is a place that he had created for us. And now it's what? Burned. It's in ruins. It's not the same place that it used to be. But this was a call. He said, "Come, let us build up the wall." See, because the wall was a place of protection. It was a place to let them know that, hey, nothing can harm us here. The enemy is trying to get to us here. But everything was torn down. So in their custom, if the walls and things were torn down, it was a disgrace. Were there walls in your life that have been torn down? Protections that have come down because you were disobedient. So the call was, "Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproach." Come on, let's build it up again. And this building was actually a rebuild because it was already been built. They had already had the victory, but they lost it because of their unbelief and their unwillingness to be obedient to his word. So he's giving them an opportunity to what? Say rebuild. He's given us as believers an opportunity to what? Rebuild. Some of us, our stuff is torn down. Our stuff is raggedy. So go to Nehemiah 4 chapter. And this is the season that we're in when we're talking about the Hebrew New Year. Elul, it's a time of self-reflection for us to get ourselves right. If there's some things that are not right, we got to get them together. If there's some things that are not right in your life, some things that need to be built or rebuilt, this is an opportunity. There's always an opportunity for you to do it, but this particular season is speaking of this. So here, the fourth chapter of Nehemiah, the sixth verse says, "So we built up the wall," or in terms of what was going on, rebuilt. Rebuilt the wall, because it was torn down. Now we're rebuilding it. "And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof." Why? "For the people had a mind. Cannot be rebuilt unless the people" what? Stuff is not going to get done in your life unless you have mind for it to be done. You know what happens when you really want something? You go get it. Don't you? I mean, you like, nothing can stop you. When you got your mind made up, yeah, I'm gonna get this. Same thing with your salvation. Man, if we were just as tenacious about the things of God, about the things of Yahweh, with our lives like we are other stuff, we would be dynamos. Because I know how stubborn some of y'all are. Already, you get stubborn. Why can't we get stubborn with the things of God? Nothing is going to stop me. And when in the scripture, he says, "Nothing, what shall separate us from the love of you?" What's going to separate you? Tell your neighbor, "Nothing." You better mean it though. Don't just be saying nothing. Say, "Nothing shall separate me." That's a made up mind. That's a mind to work. Other thing, you got to work on this. I don't know who told believers that they didn't have to. Who told y'all that? Who told you that you didn't have to work at this? He didn't say he was just going to get. He said he was going to provide the salvation, but you have to what? You got to work. He said, you got to what? Work your salvation. So we got to work this. But tell yourself, I have to have a mind to work. So then we went to Genesis, And in Genesis, it told us, if you want to get this thing built, go to Genesis, the sixth chapter, real quick. If you want change in your life, if you want to be saved, if you want protection, right? If you want to be saved from death, if you want life, you got to follow my instructions. So Noah, he told him, hey, listen, I'm through with man. Man has been so disobedient. Man has become so evil. I'm going to get rid of this whole thing. I'm just going to flood it all out. I'm going to wash it out down the drain. It was almost like today. There's so much evil going on. And same thing back there. So much evil going on. He was like, I'm done. And Noah said, don't do it. I can find some righteous people. So he said, okay, if you want to get out of this, because destruction is coming, but if you want to get out of this, follow my instructions. Say that. Follow his instructions. Say it again. So Genesis, the sixth chapter, 14th verse says, make an ark. Hey, everybody, there was nothing like an ark before. Nothing. He said it was going to rain. What was that? It never rained before. So he was telling people, there's going to be water from the sky. And they was like, you crazy, dude. There's never been that before. Say, follow his instructions. So what did Noah do? Noah went trying to tell everybody, listen, I'm about to follow some instructions that I was given. And if you want your life saved, you're going to help me with this here. But what did the people say? They laughed at him. They said, he crazy. You know, I know that people are laughing at you. How many been called crazy? I'd be called that. And so he said, no, make you an ark of walnut, of pine. Gopher wood was called teak. Say teak. Specifically, he told them, use this kind of wood. If he used any other kind of wood, it would have sank. Make rooms in the ark. Pitch it within. Put some tar on it. Put some waterproofing on it. Inside and out. Right? 15. And this is the fashion that you should make of it. It has to be what? 300 cubits, which is 450 feet long. Make the breadth of it 50 cubits, 75 feet wide. The height of it 30 cubits, 45 feet high. 16. A window shall thou make of the ark, and in the cubit finish thou off. 18-inch window. No, God, I want a bay window. No. 18 inches is not big enough. I don't care. I say it. Make it. What? Isn't that, don't we always do the most? We're always doing extra. He don't want us to, he want us to do exactly what he said. Build a three stories. I think it should be five. Hold up. If you want to save your life, three stories. Why, God, why do we have to do a raft? Why can't we do why do we got to do an ark? Why can't we do a raft? Does it have to be that big? Follow. Because that's what we do. We ask a bunch of questions. God tells us to do something. Well, does it have to be like that? Does it take all that? Tell your neighbor yes. It can't be willy-nilly. It's got to be flood-proof. So that's what we were talking about. So he's given us an opportunity to build, but he wants us to follow his instructions. So the definition for build. Build means to put up, to raise up, to make or become stronger or more intense, to construct, to put something together. We're building. Say our life is a build, because that ark is a form of our life. If we want our life to be saved, we got to follow his instructions. And then he wants us to build our life according to his instructions. Plan. You can't start building anything unless you have a plan. What is a plan? A plan is a detailed proposal for doing something. Say, Yahweh is a God of detail. And I said this before. He had a solar eclipse where the moon comes in front of the sun. The moon is the perfect diameter to cover the corona of the sun from our perspective. If it was much smaller, there wouldn't be an eclipse. If it was too big, it wouldn't work. But it was just right. He cares about details. I said this before. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows how many I've lost. He knows. Because he's a God of detail. And a God of detail has a plan. Noah's plan was detailed. Told him how high, how wide, how all that. So what is a plan? It's a detailed proposal for doing something. A plan of action. An intense or decisive way of achieving something in advance. So go to 1 Corinthians. This is where we left off. We don't plan to fail. We fail to plan. And Yahweh has a plan for our life. So in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the 9th verse, he says, for we are what? Laborers together with Yahweh. You are Yahweh's husbandry. You are his what? Building according to the grace which he has given me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed of how he buildeth thereupon. He's instructing you how to build this. I've had people say to me, I got to get my life straight first and then I'll come to God. You can't get your life straight first. You don't know how to get your life straight first. You could not possibly know. So if you think that you're going to get your life straight first and then you're going to come here, you're never coming. We come here because we know our life is not right, and we know that God is the only one that can put our life back together, that can put our life in order. He knows the beginning from the end. And so we read this. And then the 11 says, for other foundation can no man lay that it, when it's what is laid, which is who? Yeshua Mashiach. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, people choose other foundations other than Yeshua. They choose other foundations. Let me say that again. Other than Yeshua, they choose other foundations to build on. And he even gave us an example. Other people use what? Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work to find out what sort it is. So if you're building on a foundation that is what? Gold, silver, stubble and all that, and it's not Yeshua, he says there's going to be fire brought to it anyway, and the fire will reveal what kind of foundation it is. Wow. 14. If any man's work abide which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. He'll still be saved. And you guys got to pay attention here. Because this is strictly for the believer. We have a tendency to believe when we're quote unquote saved, oh, it's just for, it's pertaining to people that are unsaved. No, he's talking to you. You church folk. Look around this room. Some of you are visitors, but there's church folk up in here. Do church folk need to be corrected? Absolutely. They need to be corrected more than anybody else. Because they have a false sense of, well, I'm good. How you doing? Yeah, I'm good. I'm clear. Oh, really? Okay, so let's put some fire to it. Let's put some fire to y'all. And see. What if you're going to stand up to the fire. I strike a match, some of y'all, but no, don't do it. Let me reconsider that. Yeah, okay. 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Oh, 16. Know you not that you are the temple of Yahweh, and the spirit of Yahweh dwelleth in you? You're his property, y'all. If you save, you God's property. You're not your own, you're his. So therefore, tending to that house and that temple should be to his instructions. I found out last week. Now, let me do this. You guys showed some light to me last week. Let's go to the message version of 1 Corinthians, the same chapter. Let's go to the message version. I like the message version because it kind of breaks things down. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. He says, to put it under another way, you are God's house. And the message version is kind of more of an English, contemporary English version. Using the gift Yahweh has gave me as a good architect, I design this. Apollos is putting up the walls. Let each carpenter who comes on the job, are you listening? Take care to build on the foundation. Remember, there is only one foundation. The one what? Not the gold, not the silver, not the precious stone, but the foundation of Yeshua that was already laid. Remember, there's only foundation. Take particular care in picking out your building materials. Eventually, there is going to be an inspection. The inspection will be thorough and rigorous. You won't get by with a thing. If your work passes inspection, fine. Wait, did I skip something? Eventually, there's going to be inspection. If you use cheap or inferior materials, you will be found out. And so I asked the congregation. I said, you know, maybe there's a more expensive toilet paper than another. I said something that all the toilet paper was the same. And the audience said, no, there's some bad toilet paper out there, which tells me that we got a lot of sadity folk up in here who won't buy the bargain toilet paper, but buy the what? What's good? Charmin? Is that a good one? Scott. Oh. So, you guys pay attention to what kind of toilet paper you buy. You do not use an inferior toilet paper, but yet, when it comes to your salvation, you'll use inferior materials. This is your very life. This is your very life. Your toilet paper is going down the drain. But you pay more attention to your type of toilet paper than you do about what you do to maintain your salvation. Because I had some people, you got to use the right kind of toilet paper. I mean, there were some people that was like, no way. I don't use any kind of toilet paper. Then why are you selling for any old kind of salvation? We serve a God that it's a God of details. And if we use the wrong stuff, we're going to be found out. And he said, if your work passes inspection, fine. If it doesn't, your part of the building, will be torn out. Started. A lot of us believers, we didn't build on the right foundation. Some of us got saved because it was fashionable and it's not working. Some of us got into it because we got scared. You got to want. I don't believe in fear when it comes to the things of Yahweh. It's not about fear. It's not about, I'm afraid I'm going to go to hell. It's about, I want to be with the one that loved me so much that he sent his only begotten son for me. And so because I love him as much as he loves me, I want to serve him. And ultimately, I want to be with him. Hell doesn't even have a factor. Some people, yeah, you may go to hell. You probably hellbound. But is that what's going to bring you to the cross? Is hell going to bring you to the cross? Or is the love of the Father going to bring you to the cross? I don't want to serve him out of fear. I want to serve him out of love. I want to be with him. I want to do the stuff he tells me to do. So some of us have built on faulty foundations because he already told us, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's the foundation. Your foundation isn't built on fear and anxiety and being scared. It's built on love. So he said, if you didn't build it right, you'll survive, but he said, barely. Say barely. Barely. So go to Romans 14. I'm going to drop this on you today. This is new. Knowing this. A lot of y'all like to examine or inspect other people's salvation. I don't know where you think you got your inspector's license from. You are so quick to examine other folks' work, examine other folks' foundation. But your foundation is so raggedy. Ain't it easy? Ain't it easy to look at somebody else's foundation? That's not right. And you sitting on hay and stubble. So Romans, the 14th chapter, the 10th verse. We're talking about inspections. Guess which inspection is the most important? You inspecting yourself. Self-check. Say self-check. I don't know about y'all. I got to examine myself every day. Amen. Am I doing the right stuff? Am I talking the right stuff? Is my attitude right? So right here, Romans 14:10 says what? Why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou examine thy brother? Why dost thou inspect thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we all, we shall all stand. Tell your neighbor, it's all of us. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Mashiach. Let me tell you guys something. Who believes in the word? Christians, believers, can we talk right now? Okay. Yeshua is coming back for his church. A lot of people don't want to teach this. It's real stuff, though. Because he said, if you see the signs in the world, the wars, the rumors of wars, the earthquakes in diverse places, the perilous times, all this stuff going on, the hurricane, They have not seen anything like it. Nothing like it has, in our age, has happened like that. 8.1 earthquake in Mexico last week, or week and a half ago. 8.2. North Korea is not playing. They shot missiles across Japan. Somebody say perilous times. So he said, when you see this stuff happening, I'm soon to return. And he's coming back for his church. And when he comes back for his church, he wants his church to be faithful. He wants his church to be holy, righteous. Who believes he's coming back for his church? So when he comes back, we call it the rapture. We'll be caught up. The word says we'll be caught up to meet him. And then there are going to be people left behind. There are going to be some Christians, quote unquote, left behind. But we are going to be caught up. And I want to be caught up. Who wants to be caught up? I want to be caught up. I'm not telling you out of fear. I'm telling you this out of love. He's coming back, y'all. He already said when he left, he said, I'm coming back. And when I come back, I'm coming back for my church. So when we get caught up, the first thing that's going to happen is that we church members who did make it, because there's some that is not going to make it. But look around the room. I'm praying that all y'all, I love y'all. I want to see you. But if I don't see you, I'm still going to shout. I'm still going to get my praise on. But this is what we don't acknowledge. There are two judgments. Two judgments. The first judgment is the church. And the church is going to be judged by what they've demonstrated while in his kingdom. Are you with me? For the purpose of your reward. This is germane because he's going to show your life when we're caught up to meet him. Let me say that again. At his judgment seat, go to 2 Corinthians. Y'all don't believe fat meat is greasy. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. We're going to be judged. And it says, wherefore we labor or we work, that whether present or absent, we may be what? Accepted of him. 10. For we all must appear before the what? Judgment seat of Mashiach, that everyone may what? Receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be what? So, when we're raptured up, we're going to stand before the judgment seat. And when we stand before the judgment seat of that first judgment, you made it in. Tell your neighbor, we made it in. But he's going to show your life after you got saved. Hello? He's going to play back your life for the purposes of finding out what the reward is going to be. If you was all right, somebody's going to get a crown of life. That's what the word tells us. But guess what? Everybody's not getting a crown. Some people might get hard worker award. Some are not going to get the crown of life. Not the he's talking about. Why? Go to 1 John, the second chapter. Why is it quiet in here? You thinking. You as believers are going to be judged by him as the church for what kind of work that you've done. What kind of life that you lived. Were you effective enough for him? Did you have impact on people's souls and lives? Even by the life that you led. 1 John the 2nd chapter, the 28th verse says what? And now, if you got it in your word, we'll go from there. 1 John, 2nd chapter, 28th verse. And now, little children, abide in him. Do you have it? Abide in him that when he shall appear. Hello? When he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. These are the people that's going up. So when he comes to get us, there are people that are going to be cool. But then there's going to be some of y'all that's going to be what? Your whole Christian life is going to be played back. Are you going to be confident? Or are you going to be ashamed? Did you talk to that person on the bus stop? Did you tell them about the gospel? Because this says, abide in him, that when he appears, you have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is what? Born of him. So what he's telling us is that we have to have our life what? Right. Saints, you as believers are going to have your life played back in the presence of other believers. That's the first judgment. For basically, there's going to be two judgments. He's going to judge the world. That's the second one. But the first one, he's going to judge the church. And you're going to be saved, just like the scripture said in Corinthians. He says, you're going to be saved. And the fire is going to be revealed, but you'll just be barely making it in. But there are going to be some folks that ran the course. And they did it with everything. They were obedient and everything. And then there are going to be some of us. So are there going to be some believers with crowns? Yes. But some of us are going to be walking around with crowns. And some of us are going to be walking around with frown, somebody said. I mean, we made it. Hallelujah. I mean, we do a song. I'd rather be a keeper of the door. I might be a doorkeeper. Hallelujah, I still made it in. But you know what? I would rather be more than a doorkeeper. I'd rather kind of get that crown and you know, him give me a promotion. I don't want to have the most improved award. I want the crown. I don't want to have the did their best award. I don't want a green star. I'm serious. This is about reward. And back in the old school church, if you didn't bring somebody to church, if you didn't have an effect on somebody's life, if you weren't a person that brought in souls, they'd look at you like, what's wrong? What's going on with you? You're not knocking on doors, you're not inviting people, you're not. And I believe this. I believe that thing is going to play back And we're going to see, some of us was like, yes, you got to know the Savior like I know the Savior. He saved my life, 29 years sobriety. I brought people in the kingdom. I invited people to church. I brought them to hear the gospel. I gave my testimony. But then there might be some of y'all that you was on your job for 10 years and nobody knew you were saved. You undercover Christian. You're going to be judged by your works. So self-examination. Say self-examination. Before he comes, I want to examine myself. By the ability of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is telling you, dude, you're raggedy today. And you have the power to say, I ain't raggedy. Or you have the power to say, Father, show me what I did wrong. Man, I want to get it right. Father, I repent right now. Thank you for telling me what I... But some of y'all are having an argument with the Holy Ghost. Spirit tells you, now you know, what you just said was totally wrong. You know that your attitude... He done told y'all. Even today, some of y'all got a nasty attitude today. Up in church. You're in church with a foul attitude. The usher didn't sit you where you wanted to sit. He didn't sit you in your quote-unquote seat. Let me tell you something. I was here when these seats was put in. And when that happened, I didn't see nobody's name on them, and I still don't see nobody's name on it. A seat is a seat. Except for apostles. So they sit me where I want to sit. The lady in front of me is too loud. Why Scott always got to talk about his 29 years? Why he always got to, he said that last week. Somebody said that, somebody. They were delivered by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. Hey, listen, and if I got the testimony, the same testimony every time I come in here, I got the same testimony every time I come in here. I don't care if y'all are tired of hearing my testimony. I know what he's done for me, and I got to keep on reminding myself. And you're going to talk about Scott, but yo. I mean, come on. You got... this building is the cross, right? It signifies like the what our Savior done for us. But some believers, there's a green cross out there on some buildings, and you rather run to that cross. Somebody didn't catch that, but that's okay. The people that run to the green cross know what I'm talking, and it's not the red cross, it's the green one. Listen, let me get some of y'all straight. If you're a believer, I've asked some of these so-called believers, why are you running to the green herb? Well, it gives me peace. It calms me down. It just takes the edge off. Well, last I heard, Yeshua said, I'm going to send the comforter, and the comforter will comfort you. The comforter will bring you peace. That's what it's worth. So, but instead of coming to the red cross, the blood that was shed for you, you go up to the green cross. And you throw your money on the green cross. I ain't smoking. Yeah, but you popping the gummy bears.
wait, did y'all know? Wait, hold up. Did you know you don't have to smoke to get high? You got gummy bears? You got chocolate chip cookies? You got brownies? You can even fry stuff in it. But boy, I'm sure somebody got some high fried chicken. But instead of going to the cross, instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to move in your life, instead of acting in faith, you would rather go to some green stuff to bring you peace instead of the one, the Prince of Peace, the Comforter. Come on, y'all. What kind of foundation is that? And if you burn that foundation, oh my God, you burn that green foundation, that you gonna light, it's gonna be lit. But why not try him? He's the one. He's the one that died for your sins. He's the only foundation. He's the only foundation. Say it. He's the only foundation. He is the only foundation. He's the only foundation. So we love to use the name Yeshua. It means he will, it's this Hebrew name, means he will save, he will deliver, he will rescue. He will save, he will deliver, he will rescue. His name says exactly what he demonstrated and manifested in my life and in your life. Tired of misery. Tired of pain, tired of anxiety, tired of being scared. We tried it every which way. Every way that you've done this in your own mind fails. But we have found a way that will never fail. We have found one that will never fail. Never fail. Oh, Father, we come to you right now, thanking you that you are the God that has no failure. You are the God that, hey, leads and guides and directs and reveals, who protects and warns and prepares. You know the beginning from the end. You know what's going on with us. So right now, Father, forgive us if we have not been those believers that have understood how dynamic and powerful you are in our life, how much more you want to do in our lives if we would just allow you to take control. You told us not to lean unto our own understanding, and many times we've done that. Forgive us. Our desire is to be led by you, be guided by you, to build by your instructions, not by what we think or what we feel, but if we actually want to access the power that you've given us, we have to follow your instructions. So help us. Help us acknowledge our ways and the things that we do and the things that we don't do. That would hinder us. We don't want to be hindered. We don't want to be stopped. But rather, we
want to be led by you. And in that victory in our life, you'll get the glory. So we offer up our life. Help us, lead us, guide us in Yeshua's name and mine. Keep your head bowed really quickly. Everyone, please bow your head. I'm just asking a couple of questions for those who may be here today that say, listen, I hear what you're talking about. I have been living a life that is of my own manufacture. I understand that. And I have not been as effective in that. I know he's calling me to something greater. I know he's calling me to relationship. If that is you, if he's speaking to you, he says, no man or woman comes unto him except he draws him. You know that you're being drawn. We can pray for you for that life. And all you have to do is raise your hand and say, I want that new life. I want that. I want you to pray for me. I want that. I want that change. I want that new direction. I want it. I need it. I acknowledge that I want him to take control of my life, the Savior. And if that's you, just raise your hand. We'll pray for you. Swan, I want it. I need it. We have to surrender that. Second, maybe there's someone here who says, listen, I have had a relationship with the Father, but I am not as close as I used to be. I kind of drifted away somewhere in the process. You see, he says he'll never leave nor forsake us, but what we do is we drift away from him. And so you say, hey, listen, I want to be restored back. I want to be back in that right place with him. He is the God of restoration. And if that's you, you had a relationship and you want it restored, just raise your hand. We'll pray for you for restoration. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. And everybody has their head bowed. What I ask is that if you have raised your hand for any of that, I will meet you halfway. Let's pray together. Let's pray right here. Let's get what you need today, right now. Just come right here where I am, right here on the floor. And we'll pray right here. We'll pray right here. No one's looking. We're praying. We're going to get what we need today. Hallelujah. Jesus.